Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Shelley Wade, and today we are talking about Proposition 5, or the One Anchorage Initiative. Anchorage voters will have the opportunity to vote yes or no on Proposition 5 next Tuesday in the Municipality of Anchorage election, and that's on April 3rd. So today, my guests in the studio to talk about Proposition 5 are Trevor Storrs, chair of Yes on Proposition 5, the One Anchorage campaign. Hi, Trevor.
Hi there.
Hi. And also with us is Reverend Michael Burke from St. Mary's Episcopal Church.
Hi, Shelley.
Hi. And also is Jim Minery, chair of Protect Your Rights, or No on 5. Hi, Jim.
Hi there. Good to be here.
Yeah, great to have you all here. Thank you so much for being here. And listeners, thank you so much for listening today. We invite you to call in or email your comments or questions. If you're in Anchorage, you can call us at 550-8433. Outside of Anchorage, 1-888-353-5752, or please email us at hometown@alaskapublic.org. And also on our website, alaskapublic.org, you can find several relevant documents to our discussion today. So we're going to reference some of those as we cruise along and maybe adding some links as we go as well. So you have plenty of information for you. So one quick note before we get started today. This topic can be, I think, particularly emotional and very personal for some of us. So I would just ask that our guests and, of course, our listeners all be very mindful and respectful of each other's opinions. We have a short hour, so let's really aim to share a lot of information. Most importantly, give you, our listeners, the opportunity to call in and email your comments or questions. So we really want to hear from you today. So please call or email us. So I think it would be, it's important to start, that is, with just the general question of what is Proposition 5. So what does the petition say for listeners that may not be familiar, that haven't been listening to the radio or reading the Anchorage Daily News or watching the television? So for folks that are unaware, so Trevor, maybe could you just explain broadly for us, or even in specific terms, what is Proposition 5?
Absolutely. What it is it takes a 35-year-old law, Title 5, which has been around for that length of time and provided great protection in our community against non-discrimination to ensure people aren't discriminated against. And it adds four core words, sexual orientation, transgender identity, to the already groups, i.e. age, gender, national origin, religion, marriage, physical and mental disabilities, in all the areas except for around religious exemption. We purposely and respectfully ensured that we did not change the existing law that already provides very strong support and exemption for religious organizations.
So there, you did say that there are some exceptions. So, and this applies to Municipal Code 5.1 and 5.2, is that correct?
It runs all the way through that,
okay.
Yes. And to basically sum it up, it provides the same legal protections to our gay and transgender friends and neighbors, people that are part of our community, that are contributing, that many people already enjoy, like yourself, Jim, and Michael. It provides that same equal protection.
So I think for some folks, they may be wondering or maybe asking the question of what do we mean by sexual orientation, or what do we mean by transgender identity? So I'm wondering, maybe one of you, all three of you, who could answer the question or maybe help us understand that question of what does that mean? Michael, perhaps you have some thoughts here.
Well, I think perhaps the place to start is a conversation about what exactly is gender.
Mm-hmm.
Gender is the sum total of our psychological, emotional, and spiritual sense of ourselves as either male or female. I mean, each of us carries within us an internal sense of ourselves as male or female, and that is referred to as our gender identity or our gender. I think that is almost always the same, in most cases, as our biological sex, as exhibited by our secondary sexual characteristics. That is facial hair after puberty on a man, development of breasts in a woman, and so forth. Now, sexual orientation is not who you actually have sexual relations with. That is sexual behavior. Sexual orientation is really who you emotionally and psychologically fall in love with. I mean, that's perhaps one good way to say that. I think certainly it has an element of sexual attraction as well, but it's primarily who we're oriented to, who formed our most lasting, intimate bonds with, psychological, emotional, spiritual, physical, and yes, sexual.
Okay. Anything that you would add to that, Trevor or Jim?
Yeah, I guess this is Jim. I guess yeah. I would add I think the foundation, at least, of how most of the people that are opposing Prop 5 believe is that God was very specific in creating male and female, and that they're an absolute image of the Christian faith in terms of the body of Christ is known as the bride of the church. And so Scripture tells us that God wasn't pleased when he made man because there wasn't a partner to go alongside Adam. And so when Eve was created, God was pleased because there was then this partnership that could be everlasting and fruitful so that they could multiply and so that they could have the kind of relationship that I think is demonstrated in Scripture, which is I don't believe that people don't struggle with their orientation. I think it's a very real thing, and I think that for those people out there that, number one, are struggling with that, there needs to be very much a sensitive approach to this issue, because we're all struggling with something. And that's another thing that Scripture tells us, is that we're all falling short on a regular basis of what God intended for us to be. And so, but I think it's clear to a lot of the people that I speak with and represent that it's very clear that male and females were created to be together, as opposed to whatever you might be feeling that particular day. And in terms of the way the law is actually written, that's the part I think that, has a lot of people up in arms, is that they very much specifically decided to not include a definition of transgendered identity in this law. And so, if you don't mind, I'll read a very short definition that the American Psychological Association has
for
transgendered identity.
Okay.
So this is something that we can at least all go to a very recognized and established group to say this is how they define transgendered identity. Transgender is an umbrella term for persons whose gender identity, gender expression, or behavior does not conform to that typically associated with the sex to which they were assigned at birth. Gender identity refers to a person's internal sense of being male, female, or something else. Mm-hmm. Gender expression refers to the way a person communicates gender identity to others through behavior, clothing, hairstyle, voice, or body characteristics. So that opens up a lot of different questions in terms of Prop 5.
Yeah, actually, that's a really good point to bring up, Jim, and I appreciate that you did that. What you've read is actually a summary from the American Psychological Association, and you're right in going to the APA and to the mental health community to come up with a definition for transgender. It's not unusual that in laws we don't define every single term. Obviously, real estate laws are defined within the realm of real estate. These kinds of terms are defined within the realm of psychology and human biology. So the summary that you just read from the American Psychological Association is detailed in what's called the DSM. We're currently working with the DSM-4. In May of 2013, we're going to see the publication of the Diagnostic and Statistician Manual DSM V or 5. We've already seen part of that online and know where generally that's going to go. What we're talking about when we talk about transgender is we're talking about something that under the current manual is called gender identity disorder or gender identity dysphoria. And some interesting things about that. There's a study in the Graduate Journal of Social Science that came out in December 2010. The primary researcher was Kennedy. And they surveyed and they studied thousands of adult individuals who identify as transgender. And they found out some interesting things. To begin with, psychology knows that we first develop our sense, our awareness of gender, whether we are male or female within ourselves, about 3 years and 9 months. That's the beginning of our gender awareness, where children begin to recognize they're a boy or they're a girl. In the folks who are transgender adults, the average age at which they recognized that their internal sense, their psychological, emotional, and spiritual sense of themselves as a boy or a girl, that they recognized that that was out of sync with their external sexual characteristics, the largest number recognized that at age 5. The mean was 6 years and 9 months. 78% of those adults recognized that their gender and their external sexual characteristics were out of sync. 78% of them recognized that by the time they left sixth grade.
So Michael, you have that reference for mm-hmm. us that we can post to alaskapublic.org?
Yeah, it's a fantastic study and a well-done study.
Okay.
I was going to add something. Go ahead, Trevor, if Trevor has something.
Yeah. Let me kind of summarize or maybe make it more of like the face of one about mm-hmm. sexual orientation. And I've used myself as a very strong example as a gay male. There's this reference or the allude to that somehow at some point I chose to be gay versus straight. And I'm assuming that everybody then in this room has made that same choice and thought about, well, am I gay or am I straight? Well, I can tell you that as a gay man, there's no way I would ever choose to be physically beat up, which I was, physically or verbally attacked, contemplate suicide because I was so not feeling connected within the community, and subject myself to this and this kind of being called a sodomite or, as I recently was called, a homo-sex activist. Why would I ever do that? Why would anybody make that choice? I'm well-educated, got an outstanding family. Not true, not a choice. It is who I am. And transgender, let's make this into real words. It's an individual who was born one sex, but how they felt in their body did not match their outside. And at some point in their life, they came to the ability and the strength to make the decision that they need to live their full life with of who they identify in which sex and make that choice. It's as simple and as eloquent as that.
So if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Hometown Alaska, and today we are talking about Proposition 5 or the One Anchorage Initiative. If you are listening in Anchorage and you'd like to call and ask a question or provide some comments, you can call us at 550-8433 outside of Anchorage, 1-888-353-5752, or email us at hometownalaskapublic.org. And we have a caller on the line right now. Brett, welcome to Hometown Alaska.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Brett.
Oh, I actually have a question for Jim Minery. In a recent debate on KTU, you mentioned that you don't want to eradicate other anti-discrimination laws, that you're fine with Title V as it exists in the status quo. So since we've had anti-discrimination laws for 36 years, why now? Why is it that you have a problem, or you don't have a problem with, say, a church, or you do have a problem with someone discriminating on the basis of race, religion? If I belong to a church and I interpret Corinthians very directly, and I believe that women should be at home in the kitchen, and I want to discriminate them, you seem to think that's wrong. But why now? Why form protect your rights now and only now come out and really ardently defend your rights? And, well, you know, it's okay. It's not okay to discriminate against a woman or a black man, but it is okay to discriminate against a homosexual.
Well, that's a good question. I think the best way to understand it is that the reason why right now is because Proposition 5 is in front of us. We didn't choose to put Proposition 5 on the ballot. That was the One Anchorage group. And so do we have an opinion on whether or not religious liberties should be infringed upon by this law? We certainly do, and we're going to stand up for that. So it wasn't like we chose anything. Same thing with all the other times that this has been introduced in the municipality of Anchorage. It's never been the conservative Christian groups that have stood up to say, no longer will we be providing these benefits to the homosexual community. It's never been a proactive movement. It's always been a defensive posture, and that's what we're doing right now.
So folks understand and to be clear on that, if you're voting yes, so voting yes on Proposition 5 is supporting the proposed changes of adding sexual orientation, transgender identity to really specific components of the municipal code, and then voting no is not supporting those proposed changes.
Yeah.
So just to be clear for folks, because I think there's been some confusion among the community about what voting yes and what voting no really means. So we actually have, Brett, thank you so much for your call. We're going to take another call. Martin, welcome to Hometown Alaska.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have a question also for Pastor Minery. First of all, I wanted to say I'm also a pastor, and I'm praying for Jim and praying for this initiative, and wanted to talk a little scripture with him. I think we can agree that Jesus doesn't actually mention homosexuality in the gospel, but he does mention the sanctity of marriage. And so if you believe that gay and lesbians are people who choose their actions and should be denied housing or employment because of that, why don't we also deny housing and employment to people who are divorced and especially remarried? Because Jesus says that's adultery. So I think your logic falls down, and I really would like to hear a response on that.
Well, there's a lot of different ways to respond to that. I'm trying to think of which angle. I guess the first one would be to say that the assumption that we believe that discrimination is, number one, occurring in the community is a big assumption, because we don't believe that there's widespread discrimination in the community.
Friends. I've listened to friends who have been fired because they're gay. I've listened to friends, my personal friends and family members, who have been evicted because they're gay or lesbian.
Well,
right here in this town.
Yeah, I guess at the same time, but the reality that we need to probably bring into focus is that the gay, lesbian, and transgender community is more accepted today than any other time in history. And we can go on and on and on. So the reality, though, I guess, is that we don't believe that hatred or insensitivity has a place in the community. At the same time, we also believe that what John Adams called the first liberty, which is religious liberty, cannot be infringed upon in terms of requiring people to break their deeply held convictions in order to operate in the stream of commerce.
So how does that work, Jim? Let's go back to that first question. There's that strong belief, and that should take precedence. So we've got this person, and you and I have talked about it, and they have a belief that Catholic religion is the only religion. Any other religion is less than and should not even exist. Now, he has a Jewish person who he finds out works for him and fires him. He has that strong belief. By your logic, you're telling me that's acceptable.
No, we've already said. I thought I've made that clear.
Right,
that
we're not. But that's his belief. Why can't he do it?
Well,
that's his belief. It's a strong
belief.
Martin,
did you have another part to your question for Jim or?
I think I would affirm that any church that wants to say they don't want to have a divorced person on their board of elders or deacons, that's their right. That's their religious freedom. Or they don't have women teaching Bible study because they believe that, take that literally from the Bible. But when I work in the civil sphere, if I work at Walmart or Target or anywhere else, I can't take that interpretation and tell a woman, you can't be a supervisor because Scripture tells me that you can't be over men.
Martin, thank you. Thank you very much for your call. Jim, did you want to respond?
I was going to ask him a question.
Oh, okay. Well,
are you still there, Martin?
I am still there.
Great.
I wanted to ask if Jesus ever said anything about raping in the Bible.
He did not use that word, no.
I'm making a point.
Okay.
A lot of people make an assumption that because Christ didn't talk about homosexuality, that he didn't have an opinion on it. Christ was always referring to the Old Testament. In fact,
he was the only Bible there was.
He was a fulfillment of the Old Testament. So
thanks so much for your call, Martin. Appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.
So I wanted to just take a step back a little bit and talk a little bit about the history of the initiative. And so this is not the first time that, this type of initiative in the form of equal rights, including or amending the code to include language about sexual orientation, has been in front of Anchorage voters or in front of the assembly. And I was hoping that someone here could talk a little bit about the history. And I don't know if Michael or Jim or Trevor.
I can be more than happy to kind of talk about it. Well, equal rights has been around for centuries, actually. It's not just here in Anchorage. People have been fighting for equal rights where the majority has had the commodity of this thing called equality, and they kind of decide who they pass it down to. And that's what we're faced with here. And specifically in Anchorage around this issue, it started just over 35 years ago. We've been using 35, and it first came about when the municipality was being developed. They put in language to address that, and it was vetoed out at that time. But the assembly members supported it, who represents our community. And since that time, there have been different opportunities to address it. And the most recent one, people remember back in 2009, you had people in blue shirts and red shirts. You had blue shirts speaking of the discrimination that they experienced. You had red shirts talking about, I don't want to have to hire somebody. I don't want to work with them. I don't want to rent to them, and so forth. Thank you to the assembly. They passed it. It was vetoed again by the mayor. They were saying there was no evidence. So and suggested that, you know, it's a good thing to put to the people. We took his words, and that's what we're doing. We're putting it to the people.
Can I comment on that just real fast?
Sure.
Because I think that it is kind of a little bit of a blanket statement to say that everyone that was wearing a red shirt was saying something along the lines of, I think it's good for, we want to have the right to not hire people. It's a complete misrepresentation of the whole movement. Basically, most of the people that I talk to are saying that sexual orientation should never be a part of the discussion in terms of what kind of product or service you provide or how you hire someone. Number one, it shouldn't be brought out in public. There's no reason to bring whoever you are sexually attracted to. You have the right to love whoever you want. It's a pluralistic society. So the fact that you're bringing up your orientation regarding sex is completely irrelevant to almost every job.
But so we have a caller online. Robert, welcome to Hometown Anchorage, or Hometown Alaska. Thank you for being patient.
Hey, thank you very much. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, my comment was, you know, I'm a smoker, and they pretty much kicked me out to the back alley, and then they charged me more for my habit. And to me, you know, homosexuality, whether it may be a choice or a trait or genetics or whatever, it's, you know, there's a level of choice in it. You know, we all have to take the bitter pill every day when we go out there and get our job done. We're all adults. And I think some of the special interest on this is kind of catering a bit too much. You know, I don't know if anyone, and I've been in HR for 20 years in this town, who's ever been fired for being gay. You know, that may have happened, but I can tell you it doesn't happen through state jobs, doesn't happen through any of your larger companies. The smaller folks, you know, they kind of want more control on their business and stuff like that. But, you know, I just haven't seen much of that myself. And a lot of people worry, a lot of people see the same thing, and they're worrying that what is the next step after this? Because there's always the next step that someone in the back room is thinking of. Let's get this first one through, then the next one will be easier to get through. And a lot of folks have a leeriness about that.
Well, thanks for your comment, Robert. I think several folks that are listening might be wondering, you know, why is this necessary? Why is it important? And is there real evidence that there's discrimination based on sexual orientation and transgender identity? And I'm holding in my hands, and we'll post it to our website, too. The most current version will be on the website, that Anchorage Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Discrimination Survey, and the final report that was released. Just a couple days ago, actually. And in that document, there is some specific examples of what's happened here in the municipality of Anchorage. And I wonder, either Trevor or Michael, if you could share kind of some of the highlights of what we would find in this document.
Well, the highlights in there, what they speak to is people's experiences, unemployment. There's approximately 20% of the respondents have not been hired because they're gay. I actually have a specific friend during an interview was specifically told, I know you're gay, we don't hire you. And Jim is absolutely right. And I don't believe anybody walks in and goes, hi, I'm Joe, I'm John, I'm gay. However, there's perceptions and or people just know. It's a small community. As we say, Anchorage is the largest village of Alaska. People just know. For example, everybody knows I'm gay, and it has been an issue in interviews. So that's existed. 40-some percent have experienced harassment on the job. You'll hear a new ad out on of a person experience and being fired. Well, she also just experienced such sense of harassment on her current job and is having to deal with it because she is a lesbian. This is a true thing. We've had people lose their apartment. We know of a guy, he was straight, but because gay guys were helping him move and the landlord saw them kiss outside, he thought he was gay and kicked him out. We know that approximately 15 to 18% of the people here who responded to that survey have experienced discrimination. It's true. National surveys speak to it as well. We know it happens here. And what this law does is it ensures that we have a same playing field. As a taxpayer, I pay my taxes. Why should I not have the same right to earn a living as everybody else? And it should be no different. I should not be concerned now that I get a job, because they didn't know my sexual orientation. You go anywhere throughout the cubicles, you see everybody's families. Why can I not put my picture up with my partner? I should not be concerned at all that I would ever lose my job for being the same as everyone else.
So if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Hometown Alaska, and today we are talking about Proposition 5, or the One Anchorage Initiative. And we have a caller on the line. Jonathan, thank you so much for your patience. Welcome to Hometown Alaska.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I myself am a straight Christian male. I was raised in church, teaching Sunday school. And one of the key things they taught us there was the golden rule, and that is to do unto others as you'd have done unto you. So I really wanted to just call and support the Yes on 5 campaign and just sort of bring up this thing of, you know, I'm hearing Jim talk a lot about, and I've heard him on the debates, talk about how, you know, gays and lesbians and transgenders are more accepted than ever, and we don't need this law right now. And I would also ask some of the black pastors of churches who are supporting No on 5 the same question. At what point did we decide Jim Crow and the idea of separate but equal was somehow worthy of further legal pressure, you know, led by folks who were embedded, sort of imbued in the social gospel to say that this isn't right, separate but equal doesn't work and isn't humanly, you know, isn't the right thing to do. I would really, I'd like to hear from your sort of your theological perspective, where do we go wrong with the golden rule, and why isn't it enough just for the state of Alaska's constitution to protect you to be as discriminatory as you want in your own house, but to have laws as to what governs what we do in the public? I'll take my call and my answer off the air. Thank you.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Thank you, Jonathan. This is Michael. A couple different thoughts come to mind. One is, as a pastor, I don't really need a discrimination survey to convince me of anything. I've been a pastor here in Anchorage for 12 years. Through the years, I've had numerous examples of people who come to me with really clear-cut examples of how they have lost housing or been fired because someone has found out they're gay or lesbian. We're not talking about cases where someone didn't get hired and they think that might be a factor. These are cases, for example, in housing where someone's a tenant, they're getting along just fine. One day the apartment manager comes by and the woman introduces her to the other woman on the couch. This is Susan, my partner. The next day there's an eviction notice. Finish up the month, but we really don't want to have you folks like you living here. There's nowhere to take a complaint like that under current law. You can't take it to the Equal Rights Commission. They can't take such a complaint. The scope under which they operate does not permit them to even gather information about discrimination because of sexual orientation. So as a pastor, I've heard enough examples. Now, I have talked with some of my brothers in what some people call the conservative Christian community, who look at me and say, Michael, I've never heard this. That doesn't, you know, surprise me in the least. I mean, we joke about this concept of gaydar, the sense that we have a perception that someone might be gay or lesbian. Folks also have something called safedar. I mean, we have a perception of whether or not somebody is safe to talk to about these issues. And I've joked here with Jim, who I consider a friend of mine. I've joked with Jim that, you know, Jim, if I was gay and I was thrown out of my housing because I was gay, I wouldn't call you, bud. You're not the first person I'd call. So I think I hear perhaps a disproportionate number of situations where people come to me and we walk through this. We try to mediate. We talk with the landlord. We try to find out what's going on. And I suspect that other pastors from churches with a different theological perspective probably hear an underrepresentation. Perhaps they don't hear any of these cases at all. But the question, Jonathan, you asked was theologically, how much is too much? And I think it was answered very, very clearly in the Gospels. Jesus leaves the 99 in search of the one that is lost. That seems a terribly impractical thing for a shepherd to be doing. But the point in that is the one matters as much as everything. So as long as we have discrimination for one person, it's too much.
I this is Jim. I think one of my the most interesting quotes that I've heard recently is by a guy named Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Many of your listeners may have heard of him. He's a guy that was a theologian in the World War II era and was actually martyred for saving Jews. And his statement was the cruelest kind of compassion is to consign someone to their sin. And the challenge that a lot of people have is that by, of course, going out and finding that one that Jesus did, it's the same as the parable or the story, actually, of the woman at the well, where he says, I don't judge you, but go and sin no more. And so the challenge is, are we going to call sin, sin? And do we all fall short of that glory? We all do. And so for the pastoral community to somehow embrace the gay and lesbian community in such a way that consigns them to a life of struggle, a lot of us are scratching our heads on that because everyone has some issue that they're dealing with. And it's very difficult to imagine having someone struggling with some other issue and the pastoral community telling them that you're fine just where you're at.
So we have a couple of other patient callers that have been waiting. Claire, welcome to Hometown Alaska.
Hi, I have a question for the pastor. I guess my question is, there are a lot of like gay Americans and gay people in Anchorage who are still Christian and, you know, transgender as well. And how can he justify discriminating against them when they are Christian and do believe in the Bible and Jesus equally as much as he does?
I'm not sure if that question was to me.
I think it was for you, Jim.
Number one, I'm not a pastor, so but that's all right. I get accused of that all the time.
Not that there's anything wrong with that, Jim.
Not that there's anything wrong with it, I guess. Yeah, I got a lot of friends who are pastors. I'm sorry, what was the question again?
Claire, you want to repeat your question for us?
Yeah, sorry. How can it be justified to use, you know, the Bible as an excuse to discriminate against these people when these people are also Christian and religious? It's not like they give up everything. They're still religious as well.
Oh, okay. Well, good question. I'll give you an example. My kids go to a private Christian school, and if Proposition 5 were to pass, our school would not be able to hire based on a statement of belief that we require.
That's incorrect.
No. It's not actually incorrect. I mean, we've had attorneys from across both sides look at it and basically say, if our janitor, who we require to sign a statement of faith, were to come out of the closet, or a transgendered person were to apply for a position at our school, if the courts were to determine that, and that's who ultimately is going to decide it, that's the scary part. So the private Christian school won't decide that. It'll be the court that decides whether or not the school can hire who it chooses.
So we need to take a short break here in just a moment, but I'm going to let Claire, thank you so much for your question. I appreciate it. And I'm going to let Trevor respond to that potentially a legal question that we have in front of us. Trevor.
Sorry, I thought you were going for commercial first.
Not yet.
You caught me off guard. There's an exemption that already exists. And as I indicated at the beginning, we don't add sexual orientation, transgender identity. A religious organization is already exempt. So, i.e., the pastor and so forth, completely exempt. They can discriminate based off any other classes that already exist, age, gender, and so forth. Then you have a religious organization. It's not putting for, it's still putting forward the mission, but they're hiring somebody, let's say, as the janitor. The janitor, he's sweeping. That's not putting forward the mission of the church and so forth. They are not exempt from this protected classes, age, gender, marital status, all of those. And again, we specifically did not add sexual orientation and transgender identity to that. Why? Because we know and recognize and respect that there is these differences of opinions about me being gay. And we wanted to make sure we weren't imposing in their realm. But when we're in the public sector, that's very different. And you need to have commonality to ensure there's no chaos. So by not adding sexual orientation, that janitor comes in and goes, oh, I'm Jewish. The Catholic school can't do anything. But that janitor comes out and says, I'm gay. Or I have come to accept that I am truly a woman. I've now started this process. I am transgender. It is completely legal to go. You are not welcome here to work. You are not able to have housing out, and it's completely legal.
I want to actually add to that and clarify that. It's only legal, and it's only allowed if being gay violates the tenets and the belief system of your particular denomination. The law is clear. If I have a Southern Baptist church, and part of my statement of life and belief and doctrine in my particular denomination says that you will have no sexual activity outside of marriage, and that includes any homosexual activity, that is the statement of belief that is required for all employees of my particular religious organization, whether it's a school or a church or some other kind of mission facility. If a person violates that, they can be fired. So in other words, if you're gay, you could easily be fired or denied housing in a church-related organization. However, I work for a church organization that does not prohibit homosexuality, I certainly could continue to work for that organization.
Oh, I would agree with that, Michael. I mean, yeah. There's a number of churches that are in the Anchorage area, including probably all the ones that are supporting One Anchorage, that it would never be an issue. But what we're talking about are the vast number of churches that are opposing Prop 5 that would say we should have the right to determine if we should or should not have to be required by the full force of the law to hire gay, lesbian, and transgender.
And you do, Jim, you do completely have that right.
So we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, continue this conversation about Proposition 5. I'm Shelley Wade, and you're listening to Hometown Alaska.
Listening to Hometown Alaska on KSKA Anchorage. If you missed part of today's program or would like to listen again to Hometown Alaska, the program repeats tonight at 7 on FM 91.1. Remember, tonight's rebroadcast is recorded and will not be taking phone calls. You can subscribe to free podcasts of Hometown Alaska on our website at alaskapublic.org. This is KSKA Anchorage.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back. You're listening to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Shelley Wade, and today we are talking about Proposition 5, or the One Anchorage Initiative. So for folks who are wondering what is Proposition 5, it reads exactly like this. Shall the current municipal code section providing legal protections against discrimination on the basis of race, color, sex, religion, national origin, marital status, age, physical disability, and mental disability be amended to include protections on the basis of sexual orientation or transgender identity? And my guests today in the studio are Trevor Storrs, chair of Yes on Proposition 5, or One Anchorage campaign, Reverend Michael Burke from St. Mary's Episcopal Church, and Jim Minery, chair of Protect Your Rights, or No on 5. So as we were ending the first half of the show, we were talking about the religious exemption that exists in the code. And Michael, you were going to go ahead and read it out loud for us. So just in case folks were wondering for clarity's sake, how that code reads.
Right. Now, this is not actually a part of Proposition 5. This is current law. And it is unchanged with the adoption pending the election and successful outcome of Prop 5. But this is what it says, and this is the Municipal Code 5.20.090, Religious Exemptions. It shall be lawful for a bona fide religious or denominational institution, organization, corporation, association, educational institution, or society to limit, select, or give preferential treatment in employment, admissions, accommodations, advantages, facilities, benefits, or services to persons of the same religion or denomination that is reasonably calculated to promote the religious principles for which it is established or maintained.
So the reason to read that is, again, to clarify that it's not part of Proposition 5 right now. And so if you are listening in Anchorage, please call us at 550-8433 outside of Anchorage at 1-888-353-5752 or email us at hometown@alaskapublic.org. And please also check out our website for a lot of information that we're talking about today. There will be several references there for you. So we have a patient caller online. Larry, welcome to Hometown Alaska.
Hi. Thank you for letting me speak. I was going to talk about something else, but this discussion the last few minutes has really disturbed me. And the reason it disturbs me is that I'm hearing a lot of arguments that really seem to me in this debate to be a little more than bigotry and homophobia. And sadly, and I mean this sincerely, sadly, these arguments are coming from various religious communities. And I guess the problem I have is that the religious communities that seem to be the source of this bigotry are being exempted from this statute. And I guess that, or from this change, I guess that's a real problem for me. And I don't know. I guess voting for 5 is better than nothing, but it seems to be a problem. The what I think are hate mongers are going to be allowed to continue to do that, and I don't think it's right. I'm going to hang out there and take my response off the air.
Okay, thanks for your call, Larry. Trevor?
Larry, thank you very much. And, you know, one of the things, and even when we were drafting this and looking at it, we really need to, no matter what, whatever side, who wins and who loses, we are still one community, and you have to find a balance, and that balance is never easy. And when we looked at this, we specifically didn't touch that exemption because when you're asking a group not to like, but to respect that you have the same equality as other groups within this realm, you need to be able to, whether you like or dislike them, be able to respect them as well. And it's finding that balance. And it's not easy, and not everybody will agree with that balance, but hopefully the majority can, and that's why it was done. It's really important that within the faith-based community that they figure out for themselves how they want to deal with certain moral issues. They do that. They have evolved. They've had those issues around women, about even racial. It's all been throughout the years, and they have changed and brought forth, but they need to figure that out. But we as a community in the public sector, we need to do that. That's why it's being put to the vote to the people. And that's how you find that balance and you find that respect. And I think we've really found that. And that's why we support and are pushing forward the Yes on 5.
I'd like to comment on that. The first thing is that Trevor and I have had a number of debates, and I keep on mentioning to him the word bigot, and he said, not from our side. Well, I just heard the word hate monger, and I heard the word bigot. And I can tell you right now, Trevor, it's not uncommon. Okay, so the bottom line is I'm called that every single day. And so just that's the first point, because you were telling me you're not hearing it from our side. Well, yes, I am, and it's obvious.
I actually said I didn't call you. In that debate, you said I called you a bigot, and I said, no, I did not.
Anyway.
And anybody who does, you know,
which is just
what happened. I encourage the community. Yes, and both sides. Your side is sad. I've never used name-calling of you.
Yeah.
You've actually, in your emails that you've written, called me names.
What? But, no, I haven't.
So, folks, I'd like to change gears.
Almost sex advocate?
I'd like to change gears for just a moment. If we could go ahead and change gears and talk about something that I think listeners are very curious about, and that's really what the impact will be of Proposition 5. So how will it work? So we saw an article, I think, in the Anchorage Daily News yesterday, and I think other folks are wondering, kind of, can you walk us through an example of if someone has a complaint, Proposition 5 has been passed, someone has a complaint, what happens next?
They have a complaint. They need to call the Equal Rights Commission. They then look at that complaint, make sure that it falls within the category. So I was fired because I was a woman. Yes, it's gender. I was fired. I had this issue because I was Jewish or Catholic. Yes, religion is. I was texted that I was fired. That's the one example that we have been sharing because I'm lesbian. My boss texted that to me. Okay, yes, sexual orientation is a protected class. You cannot fire somebody just solely because they are lesbian, gay, or transgender. So they get it. They're like, yes, there's... And you provide it, you show them the text. It's like, yes, there's your evidence. It's not, I feel I was. Well, why did you feel? They have to go through that. The Equal Rights then takes it before their board, and they determine, do they even investigate this or not? They say, yes, there's enough evidence, and we're making it clear cut. Here's the text. Here's the example. It's the boss's phone number. They've been able to verify that and so forth. Then what they'll do is they will reach to the other side and go, what happened? Explain your side. Because there's always two sides to a story. They collect that information, and then they make a decision. And the decision could go either way. Now, one of the things that you've been hearing is, well, if you say that, you go to jail. That's not true. What happens is if you interfere with an investigation, so i.e., either side, doesn't matter, you lie, you shred things, whatever it may be, you can get 30 days or... a $500 fine. That's if you interfere. That's something completely separate. The Equal Rights Commission has said they've never, ever fined anybody. No one's gone to jail. Most things are resolved through mediation and sitting down and figuring what to do with the situation. And that's the process. Now, if a finding is found against you, or finding isn't for you, you can put a stay on that, which means it's no decision is... processed, and you can follow it through the court system afterwards up to as far as the court system will allow you.
So this is, it's not a punitive process. It's a mediation.
Right.
No, that's wrong. It's not. It is a punitive project. I mean, unless you don't consider $6,000 in legal fees a punitive process.
And if you're found that you've discriminated, so this, let's say that boss with the text,
mm-hmm.
he says no, and then takes it to court. And the other person needs legal fees. And again, it shows that he broke the law. And it got all the way up to the Supreme Court. And they said, no, you broke the law.
Mm-hmm.
You discriminated against. And there was $6,000 in legal fees, like there is for anything else. When you follow that, you could get responsible for the other person's fees. Because if you would have taken responsibility at the beginning, there would have been no fees. So that happens in all levels. And it's appropriate.
I'd like to, it seems like we're focusing, and I know that, there's a bend to public radio. It's fairly well known. So I came into the pit of vipers knowing that very clearly, and I appreciate that. And so I'd love to have the same thing happen on talk radio or some other venues. But I appreciate your attempt to be objective as a host. But what I'd like to say is that we've talked about the victims in terms of those that might be discriminated against. And again, we don't believe that there's widespread discrimination in Anchorage. We think it's a very, very tolerant community, more so than most communities in the United States, actually. But let's talk about some other victims that have actually been affected by these kinds of laws. And we've mentioned the photography case, but I'd love to hear other people's feedback on that if they have questions or if Trevor and Michael want to talk about it or not. The bottom line is, do you believe that you have to have a certain sexual you have to have a belief about a certain kind of sexual liberty to operate in the community as far as economics and have a business. The New Mexico Supreme Court is still deciding that, but essentially what she did was to say, based on my deeply held convictions, I can't take a photograph of you as a lesbian couple. But the bottom line is that you have about 30 other photographers right down the road that you can get your photograph on. So what did the lesbian couple do? They went to the photographer down the road, found exemplary service, went on their honeymoon, came back, and then filed the lawsuit. And so that lady now is faced with closing her photography company because they've told her that you don't have the right to that view. One of the most compelling things that I heard at the Anchorage Assembly was when a guy got up and said, you know, I'm an Anchorage attorney. And he's been an attorney in Anchorage for 30 years, specializing in adoptions. Actually started the Covenant House. And so he's been involved in helping the community for a very long time. He specializes in adoption. He told me flat out and said during the assembly meetings that he would have to go out of business because there's no possible way that he would be able to, in good conscience, place a kid into a same-sex couple's home.
Now, well, let's hear from one of our listeners. Heidi, welcome to Hometown Alaska.
Well, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a transgender woman who lives and works in Anchorage, and I find it just fascinating. I believe it's up close and personal for me, and I would just like to I'd like to talk about something that happened last fall when Rick, and this does apply, and I'll get to my point, Rick Perry was outed for having a derogatory comment painted on a large rock at his hunting lodge. And so the Washington Post sent a reporter up by the name of Stephanie McCrummon, and she posted a story in the Washington Post on October 1st, and she interviewed several people up in that part of the country, and she writes, many older residents understand the civil rights movement as a struggle that addressed problems elsewhere. So she asked Don Ballard, who's the superintendent of the Paint Creek School District there, some questions, and his comment was about this rock and this derogatory comment on it, and so forth. And the attitude of people toward blacks in that area, he said, it wasn't the same issues here you were dealing with, said Don Ballard. Certainly there were no picketing signs. Blacks were perfectly satisfied with what was happening. What it seems like to me that's happening with respect to those that would say that there is no discrimination is that their privilege blinds them. This happens commonly with people. We don't recognize our privilege, and as a result, we just think that everybody else has the same privilege. One day we wake up on second base, and we think we've hit a double. And I feel that having, in my own life, having had to change jobs in order to be in a safe place to work, I'm fortunate. I'm privileged. I'm relatively intelligent. I'm white. But I feared for my career. I feared for how my family would be treated. My fears are justified. And unless there are protections in place, people are going to feel unsafe, and they are unsafe. The laws in our community act like water in around the rods in a nuclear reactor. If the rods are somewhat covered with the water, it kind of cools things down a little bit. That's what laws do in a civil society. And I'm thankful that I have employment opportunity, but many of my friends do not. So anyway, that's my comment.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, thank you so much for your comment, Heidi. I think Reverend Burke has a response.
Yeah, Heidi, thank you very much. I guess I don't know how much of a response this is, but in the time that remains, I really wanted to wade into what I think is the heart of the real disagreement between Trevor and Jim. And the two sides on this. And I feel I'm sitting here, you can't see me, but I'm actually in the middle between the two of them. I'm part of the religious community. I'm a Christian minister. I'm completely committed to that with my life. I also believe in equality. I think the issue of churches and religious organizations being exempted is clear. I think it's a red herring to chase down those details. I think what the no on Prop 5 people are really asking for is for the right of an individual operating in the private sphere, not in a church or church school or anything, but in the private sphere, to have the right to be able to discriminate or make their own business decision based upon their individual sincerely held religious beliefs. Now, let's just think for a moment, though, what the implications of that would be. That basically means that I can refuse housing to someone who is Mormon if I believe that that way of life that they are promoting and living is actually contrary and unhealthy and of detriment to not only themselves but to society. It means, in reverse, that if I believe that evangelical Christianity is bigoted and narrow-minded, which, by the way, I want to make points out that they're not, that's not the case, then therefore I could discriminate against those folks simply because it's my personal and deeply held religious belief that those folks are wrong. When we go into the public sphere, we simply have to give room for one another to be able to have basic employment, basic housing, basic food and shelter, even when we disagree. And this is not a debate about whether or not a homosexuality or being gay or lesbian is right or wrong. It's about how we will live with one another, with our differences and with our disagreements.
We've got a lot of calls that are here before me, so I wanted to give the last word to one of our listeners. Thomas, thank you for calling Hometown Alaska.
Hi. I just wanted to make a short comment. I'm a straight male, and I find it quite disturbing to kind of keep hearing this idea that homosexuality is a chosen lifestyle. It's pretty obvious. It's scientifically proven. I think there's been studies on over 250 different animal species that
Thomas, you got about 10 seconds.
That homosexuality is not a choice, same way as race is not a choice, and I think it would be great to protect people of all different backgrounds.
Well, thank you very much for your call, Thomas, and I want to put a great thanks out to our guest today, Trevor Storrs, chair of Yes on Proposition 5, Reverend Michael Burke from St. Mary's Episcopal Church, and Jim Minery, chair for Protect Your Rights, No on 5. And thank you all to the listeners that we didn't get a chance to take your calls today. Next week on Hometown Alaska, join host Charles Woolforth for a discussion on private colleges in Alaska with guest Don Bantz, president of Alaska Pacific University. Hometown Alaska is on the web at alaskapublic.org. You can join us on Facebook at Alaska Public. Pat Yak is the Vice President of Public Media. Kristen Speck is our web editor and audio engineer. Thank you so much for joining us today on Hometown Alaska. I'm Shelley Wade.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Telecommunications Incorporated, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the participants and do not reflect KSKA or its underwriters. Today's program is available online at alaskapublic.org. CD copies can be purchased by calling 550-8400. This is KSKA Anchorage.